Good morning, everybody. This is the third message I'm delivering regarding Christ and his body. If you've missed the first two, you can get them by going to our website, Facebook. They're available. They are important. Every message is important. We never just teach pep talks, as you know. What's going on right now in God's kingdom is that he is changing, shifting the concepts of what we have regarding church from that kind of religious structure over to the body. And it's going to take some effort, spiritual effort, on all of our parts to move away from paradigms, thought structures that control us and hold us and keep us, literally, from moving from where we are into what we should be and what God wants us to be. I liken it to the awakening of a sleeping giant, the body of Christ. And I'm going to teach you four things this morning. Not that they are the only four things, but four things that will help shift our thinking, move us into the revelation of who we are, and help us get delivered from limitations, especially the concept that Christianity is about us. The main person of Christianity is Christ, not you or me. We are secondary creatures in Christianity, not primary. The gospel is not about us. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is a part of it, not the whole of it. There's much more. And because we don't attend to the much more, we live in a limited understanding and lifestyle, which limits the power of God in us. You can never be what you cannot see. Until we see what we are, have this understanding, this revelation, the eyes of our understanding opened, we will fall back into old paradigms. And God wants us delivered of that, okay? So, Father, we thank you that everything we learn by your Spirit. Holy Spirit has come to lead us and guide us in all truth, to remind us of the teachings of Jesus, and above all, to make him known. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Holy Spirit lives to manifest, to make Christ known to us and through us. And today we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work in us and the way you will open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits that we can be what we are supposed to be. We thank you for incremental changes because we cannot change overnight. All of what we are going to come to know is going to take time. We are going to erase the things that hold us back, the bondages, the limitations, the old styles and ways and methods, and move into a life that is full of the power of God. For that, we give you praise. Amen. So, four things. Who is Christ? We are his body. How did we get there? And how are we members one of another? Okay, let's look at who is Christ. I'm going to ask you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. When Paul wrote to these churches, he wasn't bound by our grammar and sentence structure. When he wrote sentences that became passages and whole paragraphs, pages, that you could hardly find a way to put a period, let alone a comma. And so if you permit me, I will start in verse 14, chapter 1 of Colossians. speaking of Christ. Excuse me, verse 15. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All right, let's look at these points. First of all, Jesus is the image of God. That means that whatever God wanted to reveal to the world of himself, he did it in the person of Christ. Christ was a representation of God, and he is God. So he revealed himself in the form of a body. Incidentally, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," he already had the image of Christ in his mind, what Christ would look like when he came to this earth. And so man was a reflection of Christ in the original creation. Second, he created everything. There isn't anything that exists in all of creation that Christ didn't exist. Not only that, everything that was created for him, for his pleasure, for his purpose, for his will. And he is before everything, prior to everything, superior to everything. Creation cannot equal God. It is always lesser. And those who worship creation worship something lesser. All things are held together by him. They exist because of him. They are held together. Literally right now, all of creation is still held together because of Christ. And he is the head of the body. We're going to deal with that topic. He is the head of the body. The body, which we are, and I'm going to speak more and more and more about this because we have such limited appreciation, let alone understanding of it. He's the head of the called out people, the church. That thing that we refer to so often, the church, the word comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, meaning out, called out people, called out of the world, and they have to be called out into something. Called out. We are the called out first. We're called out, and then what are we called out for and to and in? He is the firstborn from the dead, from the resurrection, meaning he is a brand new type of species. The firstborn means here that he was begotten out of dead. There are people who were raised from the dead throughout history, only to die again. Jesus came up out of the earth as a new person. And we will be like him. He has preeminence in all things, in all rank, and in all full, and in all influence. And finally, he is the fullness of God. God dwelled in Jesus, not in part, but in fullness. Christ is the fullness of God. He's not a lesser creature. He does not have less power. He's not second. There's no possible way that he could be anything but first because he is God. The fact that he came in a different form that we can identify does not limit who he is as God. He is 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 God. In him, all the fullness of deity dwells. All of it. All of it. Nothing less. He's not second. I need to make sure you understand that. Because the supernatural nature of our faith, the spiritual nature of our faith, transcends the limited fleshly concepts of how we perceive God, how we perceive Jesus. First, understand this. There is no physics in God. He made time, space, limits, dimensions. He himself is not limited to time, space, limits, dimensions. He can be everywhere at all the time. Jesus Christ can be that way too. So we have to take that by faith, because reason will never accomplish a successful understanding of the fact that God is supernatural, and you have moved into a supernatural existence. Our little bodies hold us back, and that's why we wait for the redemption of our bodies, because right now they have limitations. Spiritually, we do not have limitations. Our spirit's connected to the living God, but our bodies limit us and hinder us, cause us all kinds of difficulties. All right. Please understand, this is Christ. All right. Second point. We are called his body. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So, we understand that in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells. Got that? Everything God is, Christ is. Everything. There's no difference. The Father made the world by Christ, and everything was made for him and by him. Okay. Now we go to chapter 1 of Ephesians. And again, permit me, I don't take things out of context. I show you the relevance of a scripture to other scriptures that point out principles that we need to understand. So in this long dissertation of Paul again, he talks about the resurrection of Christ and the powers that are in him. And then we come to these verses here in verse 22 and 23. And says of Christ, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's stop. Colossians, we see that Jesus Christ is the fullness of God, that in him dwells all the fullness. Okay? Now Ephesians says that we are in him, we become his body, and therefore all the fullness of God, what? Dwells where? In us. Corporately. Spiritually, he dwells in us by his spirit. This ain't church. This is the body of Christ. In church, you think limits. In Christ, limitlessness. Christ is all in all. Everything God is now comes to dwell in us. That doesn't mean individually that you will have everything of God, but corporately, throughout all the earth, and even those saints who preceded us, they are part of the body of Christ. Paul, 2,000 years ago, is part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. And how did we get there? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Excuse me. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at verses 12, 13, 14, and 18. For as the body. Now, this was the principal thought of Paul. And he wasn't alone in this teaching. He speaks about the body. He does not talk about the church. He talks about the body of Christ. When he talks, whenever we see church, Church equals body of Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are still one body, so also is Christ. There is no division. We have to talk about the division that the church has made that God never intended. He never intended for there to be denominations and differences and squabbles ever. They exist, but that was not God's goal. That was man's creation, not God's. For, now here's how we get to be the body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. All right. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleases him. Okay, here we go. The body is so perfectly organized, if you think of the human body. The heart is where it's supposed to be. The lungs, my liver, my kidneys, your digestive system, the head, the brain, the eyes, ears, hands, feet, toes, nose. Everything is perfectly placed where it should be. Functions exactly the way God wanted it to function. The body of Christ is no different. You and I were set here by God. Whatever influences, guidances that God used to get you're here because God wanted you here. Perfectly placed next to the person that's in this body in order to function according to his will and to accomplish his purpose. We haven't got that figured out yet, because what stands in the way in present church life is the wrong understanding of membership. You're not a member of a church, a religious organization. You're not part of a membership of a denomination. When people say, what church do you belong to? Well, there's only one. For true believers, there's only one. They might say, well, where do you fellowship? Where did God connect you? That's different. God placed you here. You don't have a right, neither do I, to pack up and leave anytime you feel like it. What if things don't go well with me? I have a hard time. I suffer through things you wouldn't know about. I get discouraged and issues to come up and this and that. I say, that's it, I'm going to pack it in. Pack up and leave. One day you don't see me. That happens all the time with people. That's not right. My arm doesn't just take off because it doesn't like the other arm. But that's the kind of thing we do. And we claim we are one of other people, like I belong to this denomination or to that fellowship or to that person or that organization or that ministry. We don't belong to any of them. They can't own us. They can't control us. And we are not them. We belong to Christ. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. I'm not my own. I am where God wanted. Andre and I know full well that we are here in Connecticut because God guided us here and into this ministry. And we're exactly where God wants us. We don't look at circumstances or anything else. We know God's will. He put us here. That's what it means. Because there are things that God does with the people that he placed you with that can't be done with other people. Period. When did you get baptized into the body of Christ? Well, you didn't feel it. You couldn't see it. You didn't hear about it. It just happened. When did that happen? When you gave your life to Christ. Have you ever seen pictures of a mother lioness who gently picks up her baby cubs by her mouth, tenderly grabs them, picks them up, and then walks over and then drops them perhaps in the little nest. Have you ever seen pictures like that? Or puppies, dogs doing that with their puppies or kittens? Isn't that a sweet picture? That's what God did with you. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit grabbed you immediately and placed you into this supernatural organism called the body of Christ. Not an organization, but a living entity. Then, see, this is how we got baptized into Christ. When he went to the cross, when we believed in him, then what happened is that he had already taken us. We were chosen in him before the foundation of this earth. Ephesians says, did you know that? Before this earth was formed, God chose you. And when you gave your life to Christ, he put you in Christ, and in all that Christ went through, his death at the cross, his resurrection, and newness of life. You were buried with him so that the old person was slipped off and you came up in newness of life. You were born again the minute you accepted Jesus. You were placed into Christ, buried with him and raised with him. Placed in the body where you are. Now, we are members one of another, Romans 12, verse 5 says, members one of another. Membership, I have to laugh sometimes. There was a squabble in this church, and they came to me for some advice. This is just recently. They said, oh, we're so happy we ran into you. I said, yeah, okay, great, what's up? Well, there's a person in the church that is blah, 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 and the person was deep, deep in sin. And my eyes went, wow, that's terrible, that kind of sin. But they were allowing that person to be involved in the worship ministry. And so these people who were concerned about that issue came to me and they said, well, is that right? I said, well, what do you think? She said, it doesn't seem right. But we went to the pastor and the elders and they said, it's okay for this person who is in deep sin to be in ministry, but they would not let the person become a member. What? What? What is that all about? That's the kind of thinking that goes on. We are not like members of a basketball team, have a head coach. Jesus is not the head coach of a group of people. He's not over there. We are not asking him over there to do something for us in here. Positionally, we are both in heaven with him and here on the earth, and the two have been joined. And we are in him and he is in us, and we have to learn more about him and us because we still live under the limited power of ourselves and not of the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of us have still not received the Holy Ghost. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, you run under your own steam, and you should not. We now are members one of another. My fingers are members of my hand members of my wrist of my arm, my elbow, my forearm, my shoulder. Do you understand this? We are vitally connected. Do you know that when good things happen and we move in the power of the Spirit, we're all blessed? If my toe hurts because I stubbed it, my whole body seems to hurt. But when it gets healed, my whole body's happy. But when I sin, my sin affects everybody. I'm not my own. I'm connected to you. If I do something wrong, it's a contamination. That's what Paul was so upset about with the Corinthian church. He said, you let sin stay in your body. You let a man have his mother-in-law. You should put him out because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, meaning the effect of one affects the others. We are not our own. My life is committed to Christ and to you. I have to hold the head, Jesus, and realize that I do things that affect you. So my life has to be holy and pure as much as possible, as much as I depend upon the Holy Ghost. When I leave here, I can't do what I want to do just because I'm an independent creature. I'm not anymore. I'm not. I am not my own. Christ lives in me, and whatever I do now, I do as Christ would do, because he's the one who authors and lives through me. And we are vitally connected. Vitally connected. And that's why, because we don't think that way, because we're independent, we come, we go, we do this, we do that, we live in church for a few hours a week, that we, outside of that, just go on about our business and do anything we want. That's not the way we're supposed to live. That's not who we are. We are still, when we leave this building, members one of another. Do you know that? We are still members one of another. We cannot escape that. We may not understand that fully or have the deeper revelation of it, but that's what God our Father sees. He sees us that way. That's how who we are to him. Look, I could go on, but this isn't a lot to chew on. I chew on this. I use that term meaning I eat it. I delve into it. I absorb it. It becomes part of me hours and weeks and months at a time. When I come here and share these things with you in a couple of minutes, I realize you're not going to grasp it all right away. I'm not suggesting by any means that you're not wise or intelligent or capable. I'm telling you, revelation comes by the Holy Spirit, and it comes through seasons of seeking truth with him until it dispels what is already in your mind. Because you've got a lot of stuff in your mind, like I do. When I study, I realize the scriptures are back flushing things that came to me even from childhood when I was a member of the Catholic, Roman Catholic organization. And we live with these things. Whether we know it or not, they are still resident in us, and truth bounces up against them. And we have to get them out of the way so that the life of Christ becomes everything. So I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I don't mean to make it difficult, and I know you don't mean to make it difficult for us to understand these things. But we have been formed in this earth by natural thinking, by religious ways, by methods and means, and have interpreted a lot of the truth into our own concepts of how church should be. And the spiritual realities of us being a body, just one of the new things that come to our attention because we've read it so many times, the body of Christ. But the meaning, the depth, the reality, not so much. We need your help. We need you to reveal. Jesus said Holy Spirit would do these things, teach us these things, guide us. Paul said that he would be the spirit of revelation and knowledge of Christ and all the things that Christ is, that we could understand who we are. Help us. Help us. Help us. Drive out of us all of our pride and our independence and thinking of in an arrogant way that we know it all. Humble us with realities, truths that deliver us. Help us see who we really are and what our purposes are. We ask you in Jesus, through Jesus, for his glory, for your purpose, for your eternal purposes beyond our own salvation, but what you have planned for us in the ages to come. I wrote down some things that came to me while I was preparing this. If you want to know who you are, learn Christ, because you're in him. Whatever he is, he's going to live that through you. If you want to know what you're to do, learn Christ. People are saying, well, I don't know. I want to know what's my life. Learn Christ. Everything he wants you to do, he will reveal in you because he will do it in you. You're not going to, like this wonderful vision of Christ standing interposed behind this young person, whoever it was, where it was Christ moving through this person. You see, whatever you're going to do is Christ. You don't have to worry about having it all figured out in advance, because life is momentary and spontaneous. Do you hear me? Paul said to live ongoing. Get up in the morning, have breakfast, wash your face, take a shower, go to work. Spontaneous living. To live is Christ. To live, not momentarily, not at some points, but momentarily. If you want to know your destiny, learn Christ. There are things in this Bible that you don't know yet that I have just begun to see unveiled to me about the eternal purposes of God. Because, beloved, I'll tell you, this little thinking of, oh, thank you, Jesus, for coming and saving me from my sins and keeping me from hell and ultimately taking to heaven is about this big. Do you see what I'm saying? Compared to the eternal plans of God. You're not going to ride around in some cloud and walk on some streets of gold. Heaven is coming here. The whole body of Christ originates in heaven, the New Jerusalem. It comes here. God made this earth for a purpose, not to snatch us out of it. Come on. There's a whole lot more. And in the ages to come, God is going to show us things. We have eons of existence ahead of us, and our salvation was just the first step. Hallelujah. Our thinking is really small, isn't it? You know, very small, very limited. So if you want to know your destiny, know Christ. God's children are being delivered from everything being about us to everything being about Him. That doesn't mean that God won't take care of us, because He will, but everything is about Him. If we pray, your will be done, then everything is going to be done according to His will. Not a few things. Your will be done in everything. Not just something. Not just the one thing that I want, but everything you want becomes His will. Whatever our futures are, they're already prepared for us in Christ, and they are all wonderful. Learning to live with Christ and Christ in us is amazing. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it, beloved. I don't care how old you are or what you're going through, you're going to experience more of Christ than you ever have, because you are in Him. And next we're going to see what it means to be having Him in us. We don't know that much yet. We think we do, but we don't really. If we really did, there'd be a difference, a real difference. Now, here's what the human mind says. I don't know if I could do all that. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you're thinking? I don't know if I... Well, you're not going to do it all, because it's not up to you to do it. Not one of you is going to change on your own, like I put in the bulletin. The flesh can never live out the spirit. You're not going to do this. Faith is not what you do, but faith is what God will do. Your faith is in Him. Revelation of truth means, I see what God is going to do. So as you pray and ask Him to open up these things for you, He will begin to reveal them, and you're going to begin to live in them. You will not change yourself. You will not perform this. God will do it. All He wants you to do is agree with Him. That's faith. Will you, like me, agree with God that we have been moved into one body and our future destiny is in that body? Not outside of it. No extra ministry of some type, you know, whatever. In the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to also learn what it means to let the Holy Spirit supernaturally bring His, what we call, gifts through us. My heart aches. Let me tell you what hurts me. That you are suffering from things that could be answered through the body, but aren't, because the body doesn't know that it has the power in Christ to do those things. Some of us are sick Some of us hurt. Some of us need words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Some of us need miraculous healing. There are things that, and you're praying and you think God's going to answer you directly, and he is waiting on you to come to an understanding that he's going to do it through the body. Please. Otherwise, there would be no reason for any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't need to exist if all we could had to do was be pray and have God up there do something down here. When God is in here, willing to do something in here, through us, to us, for us. Oh, we have lived on such a limited, minor little existence, creeping along, suffering, failing, being discouraged, hoping God is going to deliver us from all of that. I don't know how long it will take. Sometimes I get pressured within myself to want to teach you everything that I'm learning so that I can hurry up and see it all happen. And God said, whoa, you're just coming to these truths. Slow down. Let me work in them. Give me the time. Be patient. I love them. I'm going to do the work, not you. You're just an instrument to reveal what I'll do, not do what I can do. He's going to reveal it in you. And then we are going to do, through him, by him, everything. You have a precious destiny in God as you are in the body of Christ. Do not get discouraged and look at yourself and say, oh, I failed. Well, our failures are really nothing more than our lack of understanding and lack of wisdom and revelation. Now, as God reveals things to us, he's revealing what he will do. Please accept that. Do not be discouraged by anything that is being shared right now. Christ will be all in all. If he lives in and through us, then he is the power to live in and through us. If we are in him, then everything that God is in his body. Resource upon resource available. We are a sleeping giant that God is going to awaken in the earth. Amen? Not just this congregation. I mean the whole body of Christ. We're going to see what it is to be one, not just with us, but with other members throughout, well, wherever we are. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that when you reveal things, it's because you want to do things. So what you reveal to us that we come to understand is what you will do. And our faith is in you. That we live and move and have our being in you, dear Jesus Christ, and that you live through us. Your desire is to dwell in us and through us. That is your intimate plan. That is because you love us, and that living in us helps us understand who you are. You want us to know who you are. And we will know it more and more as we live together with you and with one another. And we pray that you will open up to us opportunities to experience life with each other, even on the limited times that we have on Sundays. We ask you to show us how to do that, will you please? In the meantime, be with us, stay on us, speak to us, remind us, reveal to us what is true that we should know today. We ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus and for your glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Now I want to ask you to do something. Some of you will take time to see this video again. Will you share it? Please share it when you're done. Share it. Send out shares so that others will see it. I have this burden that I want to see other people know these things. Will you do that, please? Thank you. Okay. See you.